Good to see each of you tonight. Yeah, I'm thankful that we have a Wednesday night service. Thankful that not only do we have the opportunity to meet each Sunday, but that we also get to break up the week and meet midweek. I just appreciate that opportunity so much. My personal preference, I'd rather do that than have a Sunday night service. Of course, if we had both, that would be great too, but I like the way that we are able to break up the week. You know, when we were singing tonight and the selection of hymns that were made, I got the impression that I'm among a people who are tempted and tried. You know, we go through that, don't we? Tempted and tried. Every day. Brother Goins' song that we have in our songbook about the expression he makes that the flesh is still my closest foe. You know, you can't get away from that, can you? It's there. But nevertheless, we have help in the Lord. But along those lines, tonight, what's on my heart is to notice the temptations of Satan, of Christ, right after he was baptized. Remember that passage over in Matthew chapter 4? Matthew chapter 4, you also find it in Luke chapter 4. But I'm going to deal primarily with Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to use that as my basis for going through the verses. But one thing that we learn as the Lord's people is that when we plant our flag, so to speak, and try to be faithful to the Lord, you could just get ready for temptation. Now, Satan is a formidable foe. He's one that he's always on the job. And we need the Lord's help in dealing with him. But I'm thankful that we have this account in Scripture. When Satan came to tempt Jesus, and I'm thankful for what we have of how our Lord responded to him with every temptation. Scripture. But not just Scripture. Appropriate Scripture. Yeah. Of course, the Lord had all wisdom, has all wisdom. And so he knew exactly how to respond to Satan. And so that's part of the reason why we need to continue to be reading and studying and growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because as Paul made mention of in 2 Corinthians, that we're not ignorant of his devices. You know, he can, if we're not careful, he can gain an advantage. Now, he can never pluck us out of God's hand, but he can sure make life miserable for us. So let's, I hope you found Matthew chapter 4 by now. We'll read the first two verses. Then was Jesus led, now this is right after he was baptized, by the way. So it says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. You know, that's just one of those evidences that Jesus was verily man, verily God. He hungered. 40 days and 40 nights fast. I think I would be hungry. Or at least I may have lost my appetite. I don't know. 40 days, 40 nights. You know, Here's one of only three characters in the Bible who fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus, Elijah, right? And Moses. So, what I'm trying to emphasize here is one of the things about Satan's devices. When we're down, when we're weak, he loves to capitalize on that. He loves to discourage us. He loves us to bully us, if you will. And just like we'll see in this passage, he likes to cause us to doubt. If. You know, in each one of these temptations, Satan is going to say, if thou be the Son of God. If. You know, he didn't use the word if with Adam and Eve, but when he was beguiling Eve, remember what he said? Yea, hath God said? In other words, did God really say that? You know, there's a law of first occurrence. When you think about studying your Bible, when you see something that happens the first time, usually that's going to be faithful throughout the scriptures. And when Satan came to Eve and said, yea, hath God said, he's questioning the word of God. And you know, he's still doing that tonight. Look at how many versions of the Bible there are in our day. You know, I think I've made mention of the fact that back around the year 2000, there was a mailing that I would get from time to time from Dr. Dobson's organization, and they were discussing the new millennium, you know, the year 2000 and beyond, and one of them was talking about how that with so many versions of the Bible that people are reading nowadays, he said sometimes it's hard for people to recognize Scripture when it's being quoted. And he said, and he was a member of one of the larger denominations, he said the church is going to pay a terrible price for that. But you see what's happening. Satan is still challenging the word and creating confusion. So as Jesus faced this time, having fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, as a man, you know he was weak. So let's get into this a little bit. Verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Well, he was hungry. But you see, Satan trying to capitalize on a circumstance, a weakness, right? Command that these stones be made. That sounds innocent enough. Well, first of all, the problem with that was Jesus was not going to do anything Satan says. And I'd like for us to notice that for just a moment. Here's something for all of us. Now, the Lord was able to powerfully refute Satan. What about us? We're not as powerful, are we? We're not as wise. We have, but we do have our times of weaknesses and so forth. And And so we realize that we need the help of the Lord, or at least we should, especially in those times when we're down, and especially those times when we're particularly challenged. It would be a good thing for us to remind ourselves, Lord, I need your help. I don't know what I might face, but I know the condition that I'm in, and I need you. Satan said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Well, first of all, in our words, Jesus would say, no. But he didn't answer questions like that. He answered questions with substance. He answered challenges with substance. There was times when a question would be asked of the Lord, and his answer at first, you'd have to stop and think, well, why would he answer in such a way as that? But what he's doing, he's striking to the heart of the matter. The question may have been deceitful. The question may have been about something else, or it may have been something to gather attention to something else, but the Lord always went straight to the heart of the matter. And he reaches back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. See, what Satan was suggesting was that Jesus do something to satisfy some temporary condition. At the moment, Jesus was hungry. At the moment, Jesus was weak. At the moment, Jesus needed some nourishment. And, of course, we know that he wasn't going to do anything that Satan suggested, but had he made those, you know, could he do that? Yes, he could have done that. He did other things that showed that he had the power to do things like that. But his answer shows us that what we need is not just something to satisfy the present, not just something to satisfy the fleshly need. What we need is that will nourish us for the rest of our life. We need the Word of God on a regular basis to feed our soul, because it's in feeding our soul that we're able to know how to answer Satan when he tempts us. In feeding our soul and in growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that's how we know how to deal with those situations that arise. And so rather than something that would satisfy the flesh for a few moments, the Lord says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out the mouth of God. That's what we need, isn't it? That's what we need to feed our souls. And so Jesus responded with Scripture. This word is preserved for us tonight. It's there for us so that we can feed upon it every day that we live. You know, if you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and you wonder why the Lord made mention of that in the Old Testament, and those that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That was also a time, he's making reference to a time when they were being led about in the wilderness. And God fed them. You know, they were out there and they couldn't provide their own food, but God provided for them. And it makes mention of the fact that God allowed them to hunger, right? back to that and notice it real quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy 8, beginning in verse 2, "Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger." Suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. God provided for them. God fed them. You know, he can do that for us tonight. He can do that for us today. He still provides for us and helps us. Not only that, but he goes on in that passage, and we won't take a lot of time to read it, but he talks about how that their raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. See, there were far more needs that they had than just food. Food and water. God made their clothing to last. Their shoes to last. Isn't that amazing? I think we need to be reminded of that. That God provided for them in that way, miraculously. And so, if we have a temporary need, let's remember it's the Lord that provides for us. It's not a time to go against his word. It's not a time to start listening to Satan. It's not a time to start following anything that Satan would have us to do, but to remember, man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. We have a similar passage in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, don't we? Reminding us, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So the Lord's still providing for his people. By the way, is there anything that Satan has that we would want? No. Not a thing. All right? Well, let's keep reading now. Matthew chapter 4. Verse 5. "Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Oh, the devil can quote scripture, can't he? Sort of. He might quote just enough to try to get us to think that he knows what he's talking about. But what he's suggesting here is very different from the idea that's been given from the scriptures. Does any of us here tonight doubt that the Lord watches over us and cares for us? There's no doubt in our mind. Because he loves us. Because he cares for us. Because he's already shown to us, at least in our day, he's already shown to us the greatest love of all in sending his Son to this world to suffer and die, to redeem us from our sins, that we're safe in his blood. Well, nothing can ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We will be with him in glory. But every day, there are tokens of his affection that he shows us. But what is Satan suggesting here? Just throw caution to the wind. Just don't worry about it. Just jump off of here. God said he would take care of you. That's not the same thought that God has expressed in taking care of us. That's tempting the Lord. That's taking something personal that you might do and thinking that, well, God said he'd take care of us, so I can just go ahead and do this anyway. No. But you know, there are those who wrongly think that, well, since God elected a people and Jesus died for that people and they're going to be with him in heaven, then those people wrongly think that they can just go out and do anything they want to. So if you encounter somebody like that, then I guess my first question to somebody like that would be, well, what do you want to do? And if they want to go out and do all this ungodly stuff, then my next question would be, well, what about the love of God? What about faithfulness to the Lord? What about thanksgiving and gratitude for all that he's done for us, all that he suffered for us, all that he endured to save us because he loves us? That's very different, isn't it? From tempting the Lord and thinking that he is going to care for us even if we go out and act carelessly and if we go out and do something that this old flesh might lead us to do. And so Jesus simply says in verse 7, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You know, if you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 this time, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16 is where we find this passage. He says, ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. Now that you'd find that over in Exodus 17. Exodus 17, and I want to take the time. I'm sorry for going to so many other places, but Exodus 17. This was one of those times when the children of Israel was in the wilderness and they were thirsty. And the people began to chide, complain, and murmur. There was no water for the, chapter 17, verse 1, there was no water for the people to drink. Verse 2, wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? Now you might say, well, how is that tempting the Lord? And then in the interest of time, I want to get down to verse 7. And And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Now we got another detail here about how they were chiding with Moses and what they were complaining about. Is the Lord with us or not? How's that tempting the Lord? Well, if you'll remember, the reason they were there was because that cloud, that pillar of cloud by day and that pillar of fire by night was what was leading them from place to place. Now, if they were complaining about where they were, and if they were complaining about is the Lord with us or not, all they had to do is look for that cloud. The reason they were there was because the Lord led them to that place. So they were complaining about God, not Moses. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Have any of us ever, in our circumstances, either literally or wanted to say, Lord, why me? Are you with me? I'll have to confess. I've asked that question. I know some people that have gone through great agony. A great tragedy happened to their family, and there was a lot of bitterness for a long time. I'm thankful that this person that I have in mind is much closer to the Lord and so living a life of thanksgiving and gratitude now, but the grief was terrible. I'm thankful that God's merciful, that God's long-suffering. But in our weakness, we can be given to such thoughts, and we can be given to such expressions as that. Not so with the Lord. Even though his body was weak and famished, yet he came back exactly to the devil the way he should have. Thou shalt not tempt. Does God care? Yes, he cares. Does he provide for us? Yes, he does. Are we going to have tribulation in this world? Yes, we will. And so we have this lesson here. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that all our troubles, that the Lord brings it upon us. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying in our troubles and in our afflictions, we can look to the Lord and ask him for his help. And he's there for us. All right. Verse 8. Just one more thought before we continue. That what a blessing it is that we can look in the scriptures, that we can see the clear record of how Jesus responded in this situation. He's the Lord. In other words, what I'm getting to is he's well able to handle Satan. We're weak. We're so oftentimes ignorant. I don't mean totally ignorant, but I mean there's lots of things that I know of myself. There's a lot of things I'm ignorant of. A lot of things going on in this world. I wish I knew what was really at the root of all of it, and we may never know. But God does. And I can rejoice in that. And that God loves us, and I can rejoice in that. And I know he'll take care of us And I can rejoice in that. There was nothing that Satan ever threw at our Lord or tempted him with that had any effect whatsoever. Our Lord was able to handle Satan and his devices. All right, verse 8. Matthew 4, verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. You know, there's some impressive things in this world. As far as this world is concerned, there's some things that, you know, this, as far as the glory of this world, there's some very nice things. But not only did Satan take the Lord up there and show him all of that, which he wasn't acquainting the Lord with anything, was he? Right? And he went on to say, and he saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. All these things will I give. See, that's one of those verses of scripture that tells us that Satan has some power, that he has some influence, that he has some control. He can exert some power over vast things in this world. But what he wanted Jesus to do was worship him. I read that and then I think of what Jesus said on other occasions. Like, what does it advantage? What advantage is it if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Now, he's not talking about eternally. He's talking about getting lost in our desires for the things of this world and lost from the joys of our salvation. What profit could there be even if you gained the whole world? And that's what he suggested to Jesus. I'll give you all of this if you bow down and worship me. Well, obviously that was not a temptation for Jesus. He had glory with the Father before this world was. That was no temptation to him. But what about to us? What about to people in this world? There's so many times that people put too much emphasis on the things in this world to the neglect of the things spiritual. That's our lesson. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Humbly seek the Lord and his righteousness. Let's see, what did Micah say? He has showed thee, Micah 6 and 8, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. To me, that's what seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness is all about. Living and honoring the Lord with a priority that we do that first, that we seek God first and leave it in his hands as far as how these things shall be added unto us. Of course, you see, Satan only has influence and power over the things in this world. Bless your hearts, we're safe in the blood of Jesus. that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And so while that was no temptation to Jesus, if we're not guarding our heart, it can be a temptation to us. How we need to consider those things. When Satan made that, I think one of the commentators, might have been Warren Wiersbe, if you've ever read any of his commentary. I think his kind of summation of that was, you can have it all. You can have it all. Well, he already had power over all. He already had all power both in heaven and on earth. Satan only has influence in this world. So we find that was no temptation to him. And so how does the Lord respond? Verse 10, then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. You ever had to tell him that? Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And him only shalt thou serve. Now, didn't Jesus teach us a lesson about that later on? Very quickly, in the Sermon on the Mount, it says, no man can serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other. You can't serve two. I like the, maybe it's Robertson's word pictures where he says that an illustration of that is you could just as easily walk in both directions as you could at the same time as you could serve two masters. Just can't do it. Can't do it. So our safety is in remembering the Lord, remembering his mercy, remembering his love, remembering our security, remembering that he has all power both in heaven and in earth. And him only shall we worship. You know, God made us. There's something about man that's going to worship something. Yeah. Even cultures that, as far as we can tell, no one's been there and preached the gospel to them, but they worship something, don't they? I'm so thankful tonight. God had mercy upon a sinner like me and blessed me to know him, the one true and living God, and Jesus Christ, his Son. And though even knowing that, I come so far short, and even so many times I stumble and falter along the way, yet I rejoice in this precious word that tells us we cannot be separated from the love of God. That if we know him, the one true and living God, and Jesus Christ, he's earned, that's life eternal. That encourages me. The Lord's going to be there for us and helps me to look to him each step of the way. So he says, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You know, we need those regular reminders of the Word of God. That's why we need to be reading the Bible on a daily basis, reminding ourselves of his mercy, his goodness. So in case Satan happens to be whispering in our ear and telling us something contrary to the Word of God, we've got those fresh reminders of his truth that keeps us anchored in this life. We need that. We need that. Sometimes we can get distracted. Being reminded of His mercy and His grace helps us to stay humble. You know, when I quoted from Micah 6:8, what He had showed us, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require thee, but to do justice, or to do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Oh, there's so much in the Bible that speaks against pride and being lifted up in ourselves. If we've been blessed to know who we are before a holy and righteous God, it helps us to stay at His feet, to worship Him as we should. So we need to stay humble. And learning of Him. You know, didn't Jesus say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me? For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. Before that, He had said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You know, sometimes we need that rest here in this life, don't we? And I tell you, every time that I've ever truly been blessed to worship Him, I have found rest to my soul. I'm thankful that we have opportunities to gather together like this and worship God. But I'm also thankful for His Holy Spirit, that throughout the week, that we can, in our own heart, maybe there's nobody else around us, but we can, in our meditation of His Word, in the reading of His Word, in praying, in thanking Him, we can feel His presence. We can truly worship Him right by ourselves. Now, like I said, I'm thankful that we have the opportunity to meet together as a body of believers and worship Him together. But I'm also thankful that I have that opportunity because of His Spirit within us, that even when I'm by myself, we can worship God. Have worshipful thoughts of His mercy, His goodness, His provisions for us, His help for us each day, His almighty power, His love, all those things. I used to have to, the job I had when we lived elsewhere, I used to have to travel all over the country and be away from the family all week and work with people that I'd never met before. And Friday afternoons, a lot of times I'd get on a jet and fly home, and at 30,000 feet with 200 people on the plane, I could close my eyes and I could be right by myself and worship God. Aren't you thankful for that ability to worship Him in spirit and in truth? How wonderful it is when we meet together, but I'm thankful that's not the only time that we can worship God, but we can worship Him each day. And we need that. It feeds our soul. It gives us rest. And I'll tell you, we need rest in this world. This is a stressful world that we live in. And these last few months has been another element of stress that's been put on us. And how needful that we need that rest for our souls. And in that passage that I quoted to you from Matthew chapter 11, there's two kinds of rest that's mentioned there. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall... I'm sorry. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And there's a rest that He gives when we come to Him. But then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. There's something there that takes some action on our part, a response from us. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest. There's a found rest. And we need to find that on a daily basis. And that could be a rest while you labor. When we think about his goodness and mercy, when we're obeying his word, when we're doing what we can, there's a rest that we find in those things. And we need that to feed our souls. You know, I wish I could preach this like it is, but there's just so much here that when we see how the Lord responded to Satan, that when we see how that he used Scripture each time, that's a lesson to us, isn't it? That one of the best ways that we can fight against the devil is with the Word of God. Maybe the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Right. It's what God has given us. It's what he's preserving for us. It's what is available to us on a daily basis. The Word of God. We need that to fight against Satan. But I'm going to tell you, it inspires me. It lifts me up. When even when I know that Jesus, though he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was in such a weakened physical condition that even in that condition, Satan had no effect on him whatsoever. Our Lord is able to help us in whatever need we have. He saved us. He's redeemed us. He's promised to be there for us. He says, I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And in spirit, he comes to us on a regular basis. What a blessing. So it says that, verse 11, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. When we think about these temptations of the devil, we think about, it was no temptation really. I mean, it had no effect on our Lord. But we need to lay those things to heart, because we're not as strong, we're not as wise, we're not as capable as our Lord. But he's not left us alone. He's there for us. We can call upon him. We can ask him for his help. And he loves us so much that he comes to help us whenever we need him. May God help us to realize, you know, in that way, Jesus was tempted by the devil. Jesus went about doing good. He always did the will of the Father. And then when it came down to the end, when he had to give his life for our sins, he did it alone. He had to do it alone. Nobody else could do it. Nobody could resist Satan like he had. Nobody could do the works that he did. He had to be the fit sacrifice for our sins. Only Jesus could do that. And when it came time for him to give his life, oh, I know that men did all manner of despicable things to him. But the worst thing of all was when the Father withdrew his presence from his Son. And Jesus was entirely alone in that work. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Nobody else could do that. Only Jesus. That's why we praise him. That's why we thank him. That's why we love him. Because of what he's done for us. And so when we face the temptations and the trials in our life, remember, he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Remember that he's holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. He's what the Father sent to save us from our sins. And so, even when Paul would write to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 10:13, he says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will, with the temptation, make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it." I'll have to confess to you, there have been times that I didn't look for that way to escape. I didn't call upon him like I should have. Because the faithful, God's faithful word says, he will make a way to escape that we may be able to bear it. Is God faithful? Well, what I just quoted says he is. If we believe this word, he's faithful. Does he know what we're facing? Absolutely. Is he able to provide a way of escape? Yes. May God help us to cling to him and trust him. He's already been there. He's already suffered for us. He's already saved us for heaven's pure world. May God help us to trust him while we walk through this world. May we trust him for what we need as we face the trials and the temptations of this life. And may we do it knowing that he's promised not to leave us. He's promised to come to us. He's promised a way to escape. That doesn't mean we're always be able to avoid problems in this world. But if we go through them with the Lord, it'll make it a whole lot better, won't it? May God bless you is our prayer.
Brother Joe could teach us a whole lot about those kind of things. Peter could tell us a whole lot of things.